This is The Podcast, a weekly debate by two brothers, TechSully and GunSully. Join the discussion on thepodcast.com. That is the words The Podcast with an E tacked at the end. Follow The Podcast on Twitter as @ThePodcast, and don't forget to add the E at the end of that. Now we join our program already in progress.
All right, there we go.
And this is GunSully in our nation's capital. As stormy clouds are apocalyptically brewing over top of me.
And this is Tech Sully in Kokomo, Indiana.
Of course you are.
It's audio. I could be anywhere. I'm in Chopper 5.
Yes, but I actually told the truth this time. No, I'm kidding. All right. I really am in D.C., but no, it's just barely, you know, I'm right on the border. Anyway, let's just dive into it, huh? We have we've got some news today. Apparently, there's a few things going on. I know you want to talk about Kim Davis, and oh my gosh, so do I, because
yeah.
I feel like Kim Davis has been the vehicle for just shutting people down on both sides, because the obnoxious DOMA crowd was going, yes, this woman is our hero. She wants to save marriage. Oh, she is terrible at marriage. Oh, my. Maybe I should do a little bit of research before I champion someone. Oh, goodness. You know, and
the thing I love is people are always like, oh, she's only been a Christian for 4 years. She switched from being a Baptist to being whatever her current thing is. So basically, anybody that uses that argument saying Baptists aren't Christians.
Yes, once saved, always saved. All right, my favorite part about it though now is another religious group that I, as an independent thinker, find equally as obnoxious as the defense of marriage. All gays are going to hell. God hates gays. That equally is not as obnoxious as that crowd is the religion of global warming, and the religion that global warming is the apocalypse. That religion, that doomsday cult, they thought that the Pope was in their religion. They thought that the Pope was a brother in their faith. Just posing as a Catholic, just posing as a Christian. And I love the fact that if this pans out to not be true, I'll admit that I will be disappointed. But if this is 100% accurate, I think it's just wonderful, because it's just as shut down as the DOMA crowd is when they find out how bad Kim was at marriage, the global warming crowd who thought he was just one with them in every single way has the rude awakening that, no, this is the Pope of Catholic Christianity who doesn't like abortion and doesn't like gay marriage. These are facts.
They keep having people say, hey, this new Pope is such a nice guy. He says all these nice things. Well, if you notice, every time he says something nice, either immediately somebody rushes up and says, hey, here's what the Pope actually means by that, or the context is completely misconstrued. Like the famous one was, the Pope says atheists can go to heaven. And they're like, wow, that's shocking. Well, what the Pope says is if the atheists can go to heaven if they convert and become Catholic. You know, so that's not a surprise. That's not, you know, a shocker to anybody. That's
right. Well, I mean, it's one of those things. It's just, I don't know, people are trying to, they see that he is with them on one issue, and so they want to, you know, comb him and press him into the shape that they want him to be in. You know, they think he's going to look good in this shape or form, and they're going to try to squish them into that shape or form. And that's what they're trying to do. And I don't know. I hate people who are intellectually dishonest. I hate people who hate's a strong word. I hate what they do. I hate I'm going to make a person out of this person who already exists. I'm going to try to make a person that I will appreciate. I don't appreciate him as a whole now, but I'm going to make him into something that I want, and then I'm going to tell everyone that's who he is. And I mean, we do it with the Pope now. We're doing it with the Pope now, but I mean, you know, the media is so good at this, and they've been doing it for so long for a lot of time. I mean, all the way back to Bill Clinton with the movie The War Room. If you don't think Bill Clinton is just a hunk of clay that James Carville and George Stephanopoulos made into a president, watch The War Room. It's shocking. They thought it was just the best documentary ever, but it will just have you with your mouth open going, I cannot believe anyone is a Democrat. I honestly cannot believe anyone votes for a Democrat candidate. I'm not saying go vote for a Republican. I'm just saying the Democrat Party is so good at making up crap. And, the whole the Pope is on our side thing is just another thing. I mean, I remember back in 2010 when the Muslim Brotherhood was on our side. Oh, yeah, the Muslim Brotherhood, those are wonderful guys who are totally on our side. Look, they want democracy. And that was the one thing they ran with to fund and support the Arab Spring at the overthrow of Hosni Mubarak. So, yeah, I see this happen. This is kind of a reoccurring.
Rambo 4, where they talk about these heroes, these stalwart men, the Taliban.
how
wonderful they are. We need to help them and support them.
Charlie Wilson, a red-blooded Democrat. Oh, wait, he was a red-blooded Republican. Oh, wait, he was a Democrat.
Yeah.
Yeah, see, the Democrat Party has a track record of, bad habit of saying, oh, well, this person is our friend. And, Louis Farrakhan is supported by the Democrat Party, too. They like him, too, and he is just a ridiculous human being who is literally a white supremacist segregationist. So if you actually listen to anything he says, which I've been studying him pretty thoroughly since he's coming to town, I'm wondering how much of the town is going to be left when I get back and he's gone. Because his speeches, he will literally insult the people he is talking to. Like, the specific group that he is talking to at that time, he will intentionally insult them. They will clap and say amen. Like, no one listens to what the guy says. No one.
Therein, I think, lies the thing where you're listening to the actual words he's saying and thinking violence is going to spring from that. The truth is probably more that he's going to get up and talk, and people will pump their fists and clap their hands. Nobody will actually do anything because they don't actually listen to him. They're like, I've been told that this guy knows what he's talking about, and that's as far as they go.
I hope you're right. I mean, because what he's actually listening to his words, what he is hoping for is for as many clashes with the police as possible, televised in D.C. My ear to the ground says that they are really planning on it being bad, like really really bad, won't reveal my sources on that one because he's will probably get killed if he tells me. Tell who he is. He said that that group is pretty bad. They're doing bad things. They're planning on doing worse. They say one pro-Democrat thing, and the Democrat Party will tout him as being wonderful.
See, therein lies the thing where they're talking about the ISIS atrocities on the news, and why is it that people from wealthy countries are going over there? And then the very first thing that they said was, yes, it can't be the religion. So, it's not a socioeconomic thing because they're coming from wealthy families. And it's like, okay, hold on. You took the first two causes right off the board for most violence, it's either a territorial thing, a financial thing, or a religious thing. If you're talking about Farrakhan group of people there, there's a religious connection there with them.
It would be like walking into a house where there is a woman and a man who is not her husband shot dead, and walking in there and going, let's see, what happened here. Well, definitely the husband didn't do it. It's definitely not a crime of passion. And not domestic violence.
Yeah.
Now, what are our
We can roll that out because I've met him and he's a really nice guy.
Yes. We agree on a lot of things. At least one thing we both agree on. Therefore, we know he didn't do it.
Oath Keepers. Every religion's got their lunatic fringe. The Oath Keepers had basically promised to Kim Davis, hey, we'll kill any, elected official that gets in your way if you want us to. And when Kim Davis is like, let's dial it down a notch here, guys, that's another sign that maybe you're not the right.
Yes, when Kim Davis says dial it down. Well, actually, all right, I got to give her props on that one. If that's true, that's awesome. Thank you. I'm glad she turned down radical support. The radical right wing, whether they are Christian or Muslim, or Jewish, which you always seem to find for me, just to piss me off, you always find some radical Jewish group of five people.
You're never more fun than when you're backed into a corner having to defend yourself.
Now I just love how you find, four Hasidic ultra-Orthodox Jews harassing somebody, and you got to bring that up to me like, hey, yeah, look at this. Hey, you Michling. Anyway, my point is radical conservatism, fundamentalism, that is being forced on other people is something that needs to be combated. We need true liberalism and true liberal concepts, which deep down, most of our friends who are Christian actually agree with that because they're Christian, but they're not Mormon. They're Christian, but they're they're Baptist, or maybe they're not Baptist. They're Christian, but they want the right to choose what kind they are, and the separation of church and state actually allows them to do that when Christianity was literally mandated by the state, then it wouldn't be Christianity anymore, because there needs to be a choice, the choice to belong to a religion, the choice to follow that religion, the choice to follow the laws of God. As opposed to the mandate by a powerful entity with armed, uniformed people to force you to follow those rules. And that's one of the things that I personally don't know if it really does jive with the original concept of Islam, but a lot of Muslims around the world think that it does. They think that Sharia law is something that is a top-down infrastructure, and they want to get it on the books as much as possible in the United States through a very scary, very clever way, which is legal precedent. And we need to stay vigilant and keep an eye on this, because the government is not here to enforce your religion. That's what they're not here to do. They are here to protect you and let you follow your own religion. And, the whole Kim Davis thing is shocking, and was pretty aggravating for me, especially seeing the video of her screeching at the gay couple trying to get their wedding permit. But
the key thing is that if you break down the separation of church and state, then you've established precedents and so that's what I keep telling people. It's protecting you. And the funny thing is, the ones that I know the most are the most vehement, like, well, the Constitution doesn't say there's separation. This is a Christian nation. I'm like, okay, the danger thing you're saying there is, then if you want to just take then the most common religion by volume in the country, then, hey, this is a Catholic country, and we should start tithing our taxes to the Vatican. And the people I know that are the most anti-separation of church and state are also the most anti-Catholic I know. And so, it's my particular brand of Christianity. I'm like, no, that's the whole magical thing about separation of church and state, is it protects everybody. It keeps you
right
from stabbing each other. It keeps us, lousy Methodists off your lawn if you're trying to practice your religion. And
exactly.
The marketplace of ideas has to be a level playing field, and that's why I think it's absolutely hilarious the Church of Satan guys anywhere that somebody sets up if a good example is the Mormon thing in Utah sets up some kind of religious display on public land, then they're absolute trolls, because they don't believe anything they're saying, but the Church of Satan folks come in and like, all right, fine, you have to put up our thing too.
Yeah, I saw they had some weird Baphomet statue. It's definitely Baphomet and not Baphomet, because Baphomet, the goat-headed, female torsoed, serpentine lower torsoed creature with hooves. That was definitely not the creature that is in the statue, because that Baphomet doesn't have boobs.
They don't care. They just were trying to shock and say, hey, here's the reason why this might be a bad idea. Public funds for this.
One of the reasons why I hate the Church of Satan, because they are jerks who don't care about what they're saying. I know a lot of people don't read Hebrew, and so a lot of people saw the upside down star with the goat head in it, and they thought, oh, that's Satan, that's this, that, and the other, The Church of Satan had the gall to call it the Sigil of Baphomet, which, as I said, Baphomet was a boobied goat's what's it called when you squish different animals together?
Chimera.
Yeah, chimera. Yeah, it's a boobied.
It's spelled chimera, so I jokingly say chimera, but yeah, it's chimera.
So that being the case, it was supposed to be sort of a representative of God, in the fact that it's like God is kind of a lot of different things, a lot of different concepts come together. From our perspective, it would be completely ununderstandable, unknowable, kind of a monstrous thing. Of course, looked at the church as a horrible demonic image, but from the person who made it, it was actually supposed to be like, you know, you would be able to, if you met God, you would be able to understand him exactly as much as you can understand this creature. And that's that was sort of the point of Baphomet. Well, the sigil of Baphomet means the sign of Baphomet, and the Hebrew letters around it spell Leviathan, which has nothing to do with Baphomet. And it's just absolute gibberish. And the fact that they are out there just sort of clouding the understanding of... Because I think a lot of our culture does come from the New Age movement, and some of the New Age movement was influenced by occultists and Jesuits and Martinists and different groups like that, and the Rosicrucians before them, and people like the Satanic Temple just completely muddy all that logic and completely just ruin it for everyone who actually gives a crap about history.
Well, the purpose they're trying to serve is, honestly, they could have also done, you know, the same by calling themselves radical Islamists or something. You know, as a matter of fact, that was the one thing where they got the vouchers, you know, state vouchers for education. The thought was, hey, we can have the state fund Christian education by having these vouchers, or you know, fund our private education by having these vouchers. Because I, you know, if you're taking your kid and putting them in a private school, it kind of sucks that you're paying taxes for education that your kid's not getting. So I can understand some of that thought. But then what happened immediately was people from other religions that weren't the ones that the people were trying to push this through were some of the first ones to be able to apply for and get the funding for a thing. And it's like, yeah, the very same people who are like, hey, Islam's bad, are now paying for Islamic education. It's like,
yes,
oh,
well,
wait.
Would you like to buy some halal cookies? My madras is trying to go to finals this year.
And I'm of the opinion that, you know, everybody, honestly, public school is a good thing because if your religion it can't be defended against a public education, then you crash weak.
Yeah, no, that's you know, the old Elisha in the Bible, you know, saying your God can't defend himself to the idol worshippers, and I think that's a brilliant point to make to Christians who are afraid their God can't defend himself against the onslaught of radical teachings. Like,
actually, that's my biggest news point of the week is the Saudi Arabians are the chair of the Human Rights Council. And in other news, the fox is the head of the hen house. I mean, you know, they're about to chop. And I know you battle anonymous folks, and I really wish you quit pissing off hackers. But they are actually right now trying to do everything they can to get awareness that Saudi Arabia is going to execute a guy that was arrested at age 17, and I think it's been 3 years now. He's older now, but they're going to execute him by beheading him and then crucifying his body for participating in political protests.
Gee whiz. Can I go back to my attacking Anonymous? I just don't like the public stupid face of Anonymous being Guy Friggin' Fox. That's stupid. You go from being a threatening group of hackers to, I saw this in a movie and I thought it was kick-ass.
Yeah, I mean, the And that's the thing. You can't expect everybody to know the history of everything they're involved in. I think, basically they pulled their thing off because it was just a way you could buy 20 of those masks for $10. It's ironic that a Catholic zealot would be the thing behind it, but the actual anonymous logo is not that. It's a business suit with a hat floating over it.
That's what it was kind of slick looking. I can't stand the idiots running around in the Guy Fawkes mask because, they saw it in that one movie and it was totally cool. And it's like, all right, so
I haven't actually seen V for Vendetta, but have you seen it?
Yes, I saw it. V for Vendetta was the kind of movie where the guy comes in and, stabs a whole bunch of 9-to-5 workers in the throat, and then finds the guy who's in charge of the people in the room and goes, "Tell your boss, I'm coming for him," and then leaves. And it's like, oh, what a dick. He just killed a bunch of people who were just doing their job and then told a guy who acted with 40, a message for the higher-ups. It's like, oh, what an a-hole. So I'm glad he's fighting for freedom.
It's every Steven Seagal film where he comes in, kills all the security first. Like, those are guys that are just punching the clock, trying to get their job done.
Yes.
They have no idea that they're defending the Doomsday device.
Yeah. The, I was, sorry, speaking of security work, I was thinking about the misconception of security work in the United States. Not just that it's okay for Steven Seagal to kill security workers, but one of the things that security workers are routinely asked is, why didn't you become a cop? I just sort of wanted to bring this up because it's happened to a lot of my friends, and a lot of them are they're veterans of law enforcement. They're they've already been police and they've retired, or they're veterans of the military and they just want to spend time with their family now. And I wanted to sort of point that out, that they are two different jobs entirely that have different requirements to join. Some police departments require a 4-year education. Montgomery County, Maryland, Arlington County, Virginia, require a 4-year education. Some people don't have that. Some of them have very strict requirements, like speeding tickets. Not allowed to have those. And here's a shocker. Some security jobs have stricter requirements than police work. There's a lot of police jobs that you can actually start at with no experience from the start. And in a lot of cases with federal-level security jobs and security contracting work, you need to be a veteran of either law enforcement or military. And I thought it was kind of funny online because I saw a cop, talking to a special police contractor in D.C., and he said to me, no wonder you're not a real cop. And I was like, wow, what a dick thing to say, because it's different jobs. And I knew the guy that he was talking to, and I thought, I know exactly what the guy's like, and the guy doesn't like police. He likes working one-on-one with people. Which is, it would basically be like walking into a Taco Bell and going, "You're so good at your job, why aren't you at Chipotle?" It's like, what? It's a different restaurant. It's a different restaurant, different job. And plus, you already have a job and you're doing it. It's like, it's not necessarily
It's not, it has a different level of requirements, different level of responsibility, sometimes more, sometimes less. And I mean, yeah, and I think it's silly. It's one of those misconceptions. You know, all security officers want to be police. And that's just not true, because a lot of them have already been police. A lot of them are done with that.
The policing is basically, you know, paperwork with a gun.
Yeah, and that's one of those things, too. A lot of people, I think what ruined security work for most Americans is mall cops, the whole concept of mall cops, because, retail security is just silly.
The one thing that makes people hate security is college. You're like, okay, I have to go into the security.
All right, so the call dropped, of course, but the thing I was going to say is most people start hating security in college, where they get so aggressive at ticketing cars. The Virginia security guys, I've seen them give parking tickets to moving vehicles. I mean, they're just over the top. And the first college I went to, you had to go get a parking permit from the security office. Well, to get to the security office, you had to park in the only place where you could park without a parking permit, which was about 6 blocks away from the stupid security office. So everybody in the world got tickets outside the security office as they're in there getting their parking pass to park anywhere near the stinking security office.
Right.
Well,
so,
and,
yeah.
I do see how that would change your view on security, but you know, I had a friend die this year getting shot while working security in the D.C. area, which has nothing to do with parking. Around here, like you said, police work is basically paperwork with a gun. Well, security work is, if it's privatized security for a residential area, it's being a leasing officer, you know, a leasing agent, an agent of the property, and also having a gun and being there at night. And that's, you know, which, you know, you have arrest towers, you have, what's that called? Lethal force authority. Arrest power, use of lethal force authority. And he was doing a serious job. And of course the newspaper article about his death kept saying over and over again, yeah, he wanted to be a cop. He wanted to be a cop. It's like, yep, that's the only thing you're really focusing on is the fact that he wanted to be a cop. That's why he was a security officer. It's like, he was doing a serious job, and I think it's evident by his death.
Yeah.
And,
I'm not making light of that. We were kind of getting, before the call drops, we were being lighthearted about, you know, why people have gripes with different groups. And that's where I'm saying, and as a matter of fact,
I would disagree. I think it's from TSA. I think that's where most people get their frustration with security.
I can give you that. I don't even really think of them as security. They're just theater, you know. I mean, how many you know, weapons, planes have they stopped the people from getting on? I think they're still at a perfect zero, aren't they?
Well, and that was one of the audits went through there and had, you know, they had fake weaponry that, you know, looked real in the machines and stuff. And they went through and totally got past the security and at the TSA and were pretty livid about it. And, it's one of those things. Whenever you have, I think that's sort of the issue, is too many things fall under the canopy of security. That whenever there's an actual job that is serious and it is, you know, somebody with body armor and a gun who's doing a serious job, who's actually trying to help their area and their community, and you know, this is the way that they're doing it. You know, people don't take them seriously because they've dealt with the TSA or campus safety or
You're ranting about mall cops.
What was that?
I said you were ranting about mall cops.
You know, while I was a fully credentialed special police sergeant, I had just the dumbest situations where they would send me to, you know, the company that I was working with. They would also get little side projects, and the dumbest ones that would have nothing to do with anything would be working in a store, and you could not do anything. It was like, all right, so, you know, don't bring any sort of weaponry. Just, you know, wear your nicest, cleanest uniform. And it's like, why would they hire, an armed officer, a special police officer? Why would they hire that if they don't want them to show up and do their job? It's like, oh, well, no, they've had serious theft recently. Okay. Or my favorite is when you go to a place like that and they have all the ridiculous retail security rules, and then they say, yes, they've been getting death threats. You're like, well, then you needed to hire in an armed capacity an officer. It doesn't make any sense to go, oh, they're getting death threats. Let's get a guy who kind of looks like a cop if you squint.
And let's take away the only way he'd be able to defend against, you know, any crazy person that would have a weapon.
Exactly.
Yep.
Exactly. Yeah, it's pretty infuriating. If you're not self-aware and you don't realize how infuriating and stupid that job is, I can get why that would bother people and lead to a stereotype. But,
Yeah, I mean, and I don't know, the security blanket, that's a good term, the blanket term for security, even overlaps into my job. Like, right now, October 1st is where, is it October 1st or October 8th? One of the two, is where we're now requiring all new cards to have chip and sign ability that protects the vendor from fraudulent charges, but it doesn't protect the consumer. Over in Europe, they got rid of 40% of their credit card fraud just by requiring merchants to have where you put your card in and then you type in your PIN code. In America, we have it where you type in the number, and then whoever's stolen your credit card signs their name.
Right. Well, yeah.
You mean you put
the card in, whoever stole your card signs your name.
Yeah, well, right now you can use, before this goes into effect, you can use a hotel door key to clone somebody's credit card. Literally, it's been done. We did it at my one job to prove it could be done. We cloned our campus ID as a credit card and then, you know, proceeded to use it as a credit card. and actually then we printed up our own zombie hunter cards, which was kind of cool, and it still worked as a credit card. We're using our own accounts, of course, so this wasn't fraud. Have to be clear about these things. Now there's a chip on new cards, and
it looks
that
like
chip
looks like a common access card from the military. That's what it looks like.
Yeah, exactly. Basically, you know, it's a couple of contact points for something to make an electrical signal connection. And over in Europe, you have to have that connection, and you have to have a PIN. Well, in America, we've only got it where you have to sign, which, I mean, honestly, my signature is so terrible. It looks like I'm writing, Ben Affleck every time I sign my signature. I mean, it does not look like my name. And
Wait a minute. Is Tech really Ben Affleck? Oh, no. I bet Illuminati Buster 777 will definitely get a hold of that.
Oh, no. Actually, though, I only say that to hide my true identity. Which
Matt
is Matt Damon.
Yes.
You got it? Stomped on my joke.
Yes.
Matt Damon, the movie to go see starting on the 2nd is The Martian. That book is phenomenal. Hope they haven't effed it up for the movie.
Oh, man. What do you think about the flowing water on Mars thing?
It's pretty cool. We kept finding that there was more methane in the atmosphere than there should be.
Right.
Which methane doesn't hang around long. It should be all gone by now. So we knew that there's probably some kind of process that's stirring it up. And so there's still the outside chance there might be life or something there. But the pretty cool thing is the fact that there's salty water that's actually flowing underneath the surface means that, you know, if we ever send, a colony or rovers or anything like that there, hey, they can go get water. It's really hard to ship really heavy stuff. It's hard to fly from space, from the Earth out to space. So if they could pull water in situ, man, that would be really phenomenal for our space program.
Right. Well,
although the biggest fiction of the Martian, sadly, is that the main character is an American, because we've pretty much stopped doing space stuff.
Yes, yes. As an outreach to Islam, we stopped doing space things. Whenever someone said that, I thought, you know, that's my thing. Is I always say like, oh, that's got to be a conspiracy theory, you know. And I sort of roll my eyes whenever someone says something ridiculous like, yes, Obama said as an outreach to the Muslims, we'll stop doing space travel. And then I actually heard the soundbite, and I'm like, holy cow, what is wrong with this guy?
I hadn't heard that. I mean, we ignited the shuttle program back under, way back, 2006-ish?
We've had one of the best interchanges online with you, me, and Brian Carlos Sanchez, an author from Indiana. He's from LA, he's a published author. He's a very politically active fellow. He's a very community active person in the Prince Hall community, I believe, and he is the author of The Ancient Arcane and Antediluvian Rite of Freemasonry, which is a pretty cool accomplishment. And he chimed in on a status of me ranting about surplus spending.
Is something I've railed about, too.
Yeah. Well, surplus... Oh, did you see I quoted you? Did you see the last part? We were talking about how politicians will do that. Like Obama, in order to pander to the anti-war crowd, he cut the military and got a whole bunch of military people downsized. Which means kicked out of the military. It means, you know, discharges from the military. And we're talking in the dozens of thousands up to hundreds of thousands of people from bases all across America who went from being fully employed with the government, living in communal housing and working for dirt cheap to do very, very, very complex jobs like Intel IT security, and even airplane, I'm blanking on the name of the terms, but basically lower level aerospace navigation, including but not limited to airplanes and satellites and UAVs and ComSec all sorts of jobs like that. These guys are doing for nothing. They're doing for a place to stay and some savings. Room and board and food and some savings. That's what they're working for.
And the job skills for the future. I mean, you know, I got to tell you, anytime we're looking at resumes, you look like, oh, ex-military. All right, well, let's put him on the pile. You know,
right.
Back.
Obama made sure that thousands and thousands of people who swore an oath to protect the country in a time of war. Hey, get back in here. Hey, talk to you later. Bye.
Bye-bye.